Our God is awesome. Our God is a healer. Our God is a deliverer. Our God is a protector. Our God is a way maker. Our God is awesome. Awesome. Well, there is a word from the Lord today. And we're going to just jump right into it. If you look at the back of your bulletin, you'll see the scriptures for today. We're going to start at the first book, the book of Genesis. And we're going to start at Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, and then we're going to read chapter 3, 7 and through 11, and then we're going to read chapter 3, verse 21. That's all right. All righty. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25 reads, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." And then jumping down to chapter 3, verse 7, and it says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?'" And then down to verse 21. And it reads, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you as your servant. I humbly realize how unworthy I am of such a task, how inadequate I am to be your mouthpiece. And yet, I believe that you've called me for such a time as this. Lord, would you give me clarity of thought, presence of a sound mind, a heart that is so closely knitted to you that I can sense and feel what you feel and sense. Lord, prepare the hearts of your people. Let us wrestle with your word. Let us find chastisement and let us find encouragement in your word. Lord God, let us encounter you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today, I would like to raise a topic for discussion: encountering God's unconditional love. Encountering God's unconditional love. Last Sunday, Pastor Jackie preached about encountering God through history. And one of the histories that she mentioned was our spiritual history. And when I think about our spiritual history, it makes me think about the beginning. it makes me think about the book of Genesis, the story of our Creator and His creation. And also, if you've been coming out to Sunday school, you know that we've been talking about God's grace. And we've been studying a book called One Way Love. And so when I think about encountering God through history, and I think about its intersection with God's grace, it lands me at the thought of encountering God's unconditional love. You see, God's character does not change. How many of you have ever heard that there's a God of the Old Testament and there's a God of the New Testament? And the God of the Old Testament is the God of wrath and the God of judgment. But the God of the New Testament is the God of grace and the God of love. Well, the problem with that is that God's essence, His very character does not change. It's the same in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. You see, we experience and we encounter God's grace and His love in the Old Testament, and we encounter God's wrath and His judgment in the New Testament. It's one seamless story of who God is. And I believe that if we take a deep dive, we can find that God's unconditional love and God's grace was right there, right at the beginning of time. It did not just come on the scene with the New Testament. And so as we look at the story that you've heard, and it's familiar, of Adam and Eve in the garden that God created, and we look and we see in chapter 2, verse 25, can you turn me down just a little bit? And you see, chapter 2, verse 25, and says, "And he and his wife were naked and were unashamed." They were naked and they were unashamed. You see, the state in which God created humankind, He created us naked and He created us unashamed. And we know that God didn't have an issue with our nakedness, because after He creates man on the sixth day, He says something about him. He says, "Very good." So in our nakedness, in the garden, upon creation, God looks down upon us and He says, "Very good." And at this moment in chapter 2, verse 25, the Bible is telling us that he, Adam, and his wife were naked and they were unashamed. And I believe that that's the desire of all of us. All of us who are humans, we desire desperately to be naked, utterly exposed, transparent, and to experience no shame. To experience full and utter acceptance from those who care about us the most. We want to be naked. We want to be unashamed. We want to be in that original state that God created us in. And if you continue on reading in the book of Genesis, we find out that there are a few trees. We've got the tree of life, which they're invited to participate in. They're invited to eat. But then we have this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God instructs them that they can eat of any tree except for this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you read between the lines, you would see that they eat from this tree. And usually when you hear this story, you hear, "Oh, Adam and Eve, they ate from the tree. They sinned and they got kicked out of the garden." And all we see is all of these consequences. And here is where we pick up, and we see now, as we pick up in chapter 3, verse 7, where now we see them still naked, but now with this knowledge of their nakedness, now they have something that they didn't have before: shame. Now they feel shame in their very nakedness. And you see them do something. They eat from the apple. They become aware of their nakedness. They become aware of each other's difference. And the first thing that they do is they cover themselves. It says that they sew together fig leaves and they cover themselves. They're covering up their shame. They're covering up the thing that they think is dishonorable or maybe disgusting. And then the second thing that we see them do is they hide. So the first thing they do is they cover. And the second thing that they do is they hide. And God enters into the scene in the cool of the day. And he encounters Adam and Eve in the garden. And he encounters them covering themselves up with fig leaves and hiding from God. Well, the question I have for you is, do you think that their nakedness in and of itself was the cause of their shame? Do you think that their nakedness was the cause of their shame? You see, when they eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they become aware, their eyes are said to have been opened. And they see now what God sees. They see themselves aware of their current situation, but instead of seeing what God saw, naked, unashamed, humanity in the garden, very good, they see naked, difference, shame, bad. They cover themselves. And then they hide from God. And they hide from God not because they were naked. They hide from God out of their disobedience to God. Have you ever seen a child, been a child, maybe still doing it as an adult, that you're playing in the house? You're playing in the house and you're running around. Balls are flying through the air. And the prized vase somehow ends up as collateral damage to your game. And smack! Crashes on the floor. And now you're trying to wipe up the pieces of the shattered vase. This antique, this prized heirloom. Hide it, cover it up, put it in a box. And then mom comes. Dad comes and says, "Son, where are you? Have you seen my vase?" And all of a sudden, all of these feelings overtake you. These feelings of fear, these feelings of anxiety. Most of the time, mom and dad already know that you did it. And when they're asking you if they saw it, they're really asking you, "Okay, I'm giving you a chance to come clean." But for whatever reason, our initial reaction is to want to cover. It's to want to hide. We don't want to know that we were the ones that are responsible for the vase being broken. Immediately when they ate the apple, immediately, or the fruit, they became aware of their nakedness. They became aware of their difference. They became aware of the act of disobedience. And that act causes them shame. See, we see them going from this intimate fellowship with God, and this intimate fellowship that they have with God, upon their choice act, now it's replaced with fear. Now it's replaced with hiding. Now it's replaced with covering up. So we see they start off naked and unashamed. Then we see them, and the Bible says they're naked, and now they are ashamed, and they cover themselves with fig leaves. And we do this so much. Maybe you don't cover yourselves with fig leaves, but when you've done something, when you've done something against what you know God doesn't desire for you, we wrap it up in our Sunday's best. We wrap it up in smiles when we walk through the door and someone says, "How are you?" And you say, "Blessed and highly favored," when you know you're a mess. You wrap it up in your work, because if you can keep busy enough, maybe you don't have to deal with the fact that you're dealing with some stuff that you can't handle on your own. Some of us, we wrap it up in our religion, and we make sure that we're in the church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Bible study, praise and worship rehearsal, and we're hiding behind the fig leaves of religion. And really, we're standing in the middle, and we're having our fig leaves because really, we know that we're not where God wants us to be. We know that we've blatantly gone against a direct order from a God who loves us. Maybe your fig leaves are your morality. You know, where maybe you're one of those folks that say, "Oh, you know, I'm spiritual," or "I do the right thing. You know, I've never stolen from my job," and you wrap it up and you make yourself feel good about all the wonderful things that you do to try to keep your mind from that area of your life that you're covering up, that you're covering up with fig leaves. And so we all have them. It's not just Adam and Eve. Some folks say, "Man, if it wasn't for Adam and Eve, those dummies, you know, we would be fine. We'd be chilling in the garden. We wouldn't have to suffer." But every single day that we live, every single day that we live, we have a choice of following our loving Father who has our best, and a choice to seek our own way, to seek our own wisdom. Whether it was Adam and Eve or whether it was Julie and Steve, we would have made the same choice. And so you have to determine what your fig leaves are. And then the next thing that we do is, when we go to chapter 3, verse 21, we see something amazing. Something I think is missed a lot of times. Because we see, yes, Adam and Eve, God calls the creation of man good. Got that. Then we see Adam and Eve eat the apple. We see God confront them. We see them filled with shame. And then the next thing that we focus on is God listing out his consequences. The land is going to be cursed because of you. You're going to experience the pangs of childbirth. You're going to work the ground. And yes, those consequences are real. But keep reading. And if you keep reading, you'll see something amazing, something incredible take place in verse 21. And it says that the Lord God made clothes out of animal skin for Adam and Eve. You see, Adam and Eve made clothes out of fig leaves for themselves, and they were trying to cover up what they deemed as their shame. They were trying to hide. They were trying to cover up that which made them shameful. And God, the very God whom they had just disobeyed, who he came down from heaven, this very God makes a conscious choice to not completely obliterate them for their disobedience. You see, that was an option that God had. Adam and Eve blatantly disobeyed God together. And God does not turn them into dust right then and there. But what he does is he takes an animal, he sacrifices an animal, and he makes the skin of the animal into clothing to cover Adam and Eve. That's an amazing thing to see here, that in the midst of Adam and Eve's sin against God, the original sin it's often called, what we see God doing is responding with unconditional love. A father that sees his son and daughter hiding, ashamed, and he comes down to them. Yes, he gives them his consequences, but he comes down to them, meets them where they are, undeserving. And he makes provisions for them. Because as I mentioned earlier, God created us naked and unashamed. Our sin placed us shameful before God, causing us to hide ourselves. And then the great reversal, where we're sitting, hiding in our sin, in our shame, and we see God coming down, making provisions, and making coverings of animal skin for Adam and Eve. This great act of love. You know, and in sermon prep, we had this discussion about guilt and shame. And this idea of guilt says, I did something wrong. But shame says, I am something wrong. Guilt is what Adam and Eve was for disobeying God. They should feel guilty. They went against the direct order of God. They did something wrong. Shame, on the other hand, would say, I am something wrong. And this is what the beauty of what God does here. Where shame, where they say they felt shame, God comes down and he says, you are not something wrong. Amen. Yes, you did something wrong. Yes, you're outside of my will. But when I created you, when I fashioned you, when I formed you, you were very good. You are not something wrong. Listen to this. You are not something wrong. Wrong. You are an image bearer of your Creator. You are not something wrong. And so what God does is he creates coverings. He creates clothing for them. Not because he needs to have them covered. Because they need to be covered. You see, because God, again, saw them naked, and God didn't have a problem with their nakedness. But when their eyes were opened, they saw themselves naked, and they saw something wrong with it. And so they covered themselves with fig leaves. And so the interesting thing that we observe here is we see that in order for them to take on the covering that God has for them, they have to shed something. And what they have to shed is their fig leaves. They have to shed their fig leaves because right now they're standing there in the garden covered with fig leaves. And now we see God making tunics of animal skin. And in order for them to accept the tunics of animal skin, God's covering, God's provision, God's love, they have to give up their fig leaves, their morality, their work, their religion, maybe their family, maybe their own self-righteousness. They have to shed that because you can't receive the covering, the love of God, the unconditional love of God, without being willing to give up your own attempts. Your own attempts to justify yourself, your own attempts to cover yourself, your own attempts to restore yourself. You know, sometimes it's easier for us to accept this notion and to end the story at getting kicked out of the garden and being consequenced because we feel like, because we know that we did it, we feel like, you know what? I deserve the punishment that I'm getting. I made my bed, let me lie in it. And sometimes that's easier pill for us to swallow. It's a much harder pill sometimes to understand a God who would create us, that would form us, that would fashion us, that would say we're very good, and for us to disappoint him, and for us to allow him to still accept us. Sometimes it's easier for us to handle life with a shorter stick. But God says, I'm going to remove your shame. I'm going to take your shame and replace it with my love. 1 Peter 4:8 says that love covers a multitude of sins. And in Genesis, this so-called God of judgment, this so-called God of wrath, shows unconditional love in the face of complete disobedience because his love covers the sin that Adam and Eve does. It covers it. And God is saying to Adam and Eve, I've always seen your nakedness. And I've always loved you. I've always seen your nakedness. And I've always loved you. I've always seen your nakedness. And I've always loved you. You see, God's love is about getting Adam and Eve, getting us, getting Union Baptist, getting us back up again. It's about making us whole again. Not in the same way, but God's love is beginning, even right at this point, beginning its restorative work. And so there are three things that, if nothing else, that you take away today, that I want you to take away from this. The first thing is, God knows you completely, and he still loves you, and he still accepts you. So that means if you're in a relationship right now with a husband or a wife, and they say they love you, it pales in comparison to the complete love that God has for you. You never have to perform. You never have to get it right all the time. And yet his love goes from everlasting to everlasting. Psalms 139 says, O Lord, this is David speaking. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Here's the part that I like a lot. Before a word before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. See, we serve a God who knows us. He knows that knuckle-headed thought you've got in your brain right now. He knows it. And he's saying, you may have done something wrong. You may have thought something wrong, but you're not something wrong. And he's saying, come home. He remembers that argument that you just had with your significant other. And you had some choice words. Believe me, you didn't bite your tongue. Everything you wanted to say, you said it and some more. And God wants you to know, I know you. I love you. I still accept you. Come home. Come out of hiding. God knows you completely. He knows that three glasses of wine for you is too many. You need to stop at two. He knows you completely. He knows that Joe can go to the club and be cool, but he knows you need to stay home. He knows you completely. And he still loves you. And he still accepts you. And he still wants you to come out of hiding. Stop hiding in the casino. Stop hiding behind the bottle. Stop hiding in your bedroom. And come home. Come back into fellowship. Come back into the body. God comes to them not just to put out his consequences. He doesn't just come to them to punish them, but he comes to them to bring forth restoration. The second thing that I want you to remember is to come out of hiding. You see, Adam and Eve, the first thing they did was they covered themselves. And the next thing they did was they hid themselves. And this is funny, right? They're hiding themselves from God. And we laugh, and it's funny, and we do the same thing. We hide from God, and we say stuff like, you know, I'm through with you right now, God. I ain't talking to you. I'm not praying to you right now because I'm too afraid that what you have to say is going to be too truthful, and I can't deal with that truth right now. And so we remain in hiding. But God is calling us to come out of hiding. Imagine if Adam and Eve had never responded to God's, where are you? Imagine if they would have stayed hidden behind the trees in the garden. Imagine if Adam and Eve had been satisfied with their insufficient covering of fig leaves and not come out of hiding. And so God's call to us is to come out of hiding. And here's the reality. The reality is that you can't cover yourself anyway. God has to do the covering. You can't cover yourself. The observation I see here is, yes, we're called to come out of hiding. We're called to be in God's presence, to respond to God. But it's not business as usual, because an encounter with God changes everything. And so we're not the same anymore. There's still consequences. And the consequences are real ones. Talk to any woman that's had a baby. The consequences are real. Talk to anyone that have lost a loved one. The consequences are real. But God's love is even more real. But in order for us to move forward, we have to come out of hiding. And the last thing I want you guys to remember, if nothing else, is that there's life after the garden. You see, God in verse 21 makes them tunics of animal skin. And then he begins to usher them from the Garden of Eden. And he sends them into the rest of the world. And sort of, I like to believe that God's plan for us was never to stay in the garden all along anyway. Just like his plan for you is not to stay in the church walls all along. God wants you to receive your covering here, and he wants you to go out into the world. He wants you to go out into the world and share your testimony. He wants you to share your good news. And he wants you to do that in a state where there's no shame. And that's why it was imperative for God to create them a covering sufficient to remove their shame. And so when Adam and Eve are leaving the garden, I believe they're leaving the garden with no shame. With no feeling that they are something wrong any longer. They left the garden with their shame removed. And the reconciliation process begins in the garden. The reconciliation process of God reconciling himself back to himself. The God of unconditional love, the God of grace, does not begin with the New Testament. It began in the garden. It began where sin prevailed, grace prevailed in the garden. Psalms 103, starting with verse 8, reads, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious." The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse. Nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so as far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. There's life after the garden. We see the evidence of life after the garden in the fact that you and I have breath today. We see the sustaining grace of God throughout history and throughout humanity by the simple fact that God has yet to give up on us. God will not give up on you. He will not give up on you. Yes, you have done something wrong. Saints, you're in the middle of doing something wrong. Saints, you're about to do something wrong. And God will not give up on you. God will not give up on you. He still loves you. He still loved Adam and Eve. He still has a plan for you. He still had a plan for Adam and Eve. If he didn't, he would have gotten rid of them right away. He would have just said, you know, the world was so much better with just animals, fishes, and birds. This whole human thing didn't work. But he's not giving up on you. Life went on after the garden, and life continues to go on. You see, God continued his work of reconciling us, and he began in Genesis. But he didn't stop there. The work that God began in the Old Testament of God making provisions, God removing our shame, he finalized that work. He finalized that work with Jesus. You see, in the garden, we see him sacrificing an animal in order to provide a covering of animal skin for Adam and Eve. And on the cross, we see Jesus sacrificing his very life for our sins. The unconditional love of God does not begin in the New Testament, but the unconditional love of God begins at the very beginning of time. There was unconditional love in our creation. There was unconditional love in our restoration after the original sin. And there's unconditional love of the finished work of Jesus Christ and him crucified on the cross. To encounter God, we've got to know that he loves us. We've got to know that he accepts us. We have to come out of hiding. We have to be willing to give up our fig leaves and to accept his covering, for only he can cover us. And we have to believe that the covering that we receive from the shed blood of Christ is sufficient for every sin under the sun. And we have to be willing to receive his covering and to embrace life after the garden. We're not in the garden any longer. We're marching towards a great city, the New Jerusalem. We're marching in the city where God himself is restoring us back to himself. And he's saying, I still love you. I still accept you. It's not too late to come out of hiding and to embrace his covering. Amen? Amen. 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 Would you pray with me? Lord God, you are the God who knows us. You know every hair on our head, every word spoken and unspoken. And we're in awe that you still love us. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve you. And yet, time after time, you go out of your way. Come down into our place in the garden. Reveal yourself. And you give us an opportunity to be restored again. And so, God, we come to you. We bring all of it to you. We bring our shame to you. And we cry out to you, God, that we need you to remove it. We have fear, but we need love. Because perfect love casts out all fear. So, Lord God, we stand before you humbly, ready to confess, ready to pour it all out for you, ready to come out of hiding, ready to give up our fig leaves, and to embrace the tunic that you have for us. The tunic that symbolizes the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that covers our sins and lets us move forward in life, embracing the full purpose that you have for us. We thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me as the doors of the church are open? There may be someone in here who, like Adam and Eve, found themselves outside of the will of God. Right now, you find yourself in situations and circumstances that you don't even know how you got there. Maybe it was a moment of weakness. Maybe it was a lifestyle that you've just been perpetuating. But maybe today you realize that you're apart from God. And you realize the voice of God calling you right now. Adam, where are you?